Right now, want to be a millionaire? Take a refrigerated pizza crust, cook it, cool it, cut it into four pieces, then cover it with a mixture of mayonnaise, spices, spinach, chicken, and provolone cheese. Grill it in a skillet until crisp and give it a catchy name, like Chicken Florentine Panini. That's the recipe that won Denise Yenny the grand prize at the 2002 Pillsbury Bake Off. Yenny may be unusual in the amount of money she won, but in the world of competitive cooking, she is hardly alone. Thousands of Americans compete regularly with their own recipes for the tastiest chili, the most savory cornbread, or the most delicious dish using at least 6 cloves of garlic. It's a high-stakes world full of grand passions and intrigue, and author Amy Sutherland waded right in. Her new book is called Cook Off, Recipe Fever in America. It's a chronicle of her year on the cooking contest circuit, and she joins us now from the studios of KMOX in St. Louis, Missouri. Thanks for being with us, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe you can take us behind the scenes to one of the contests you attended. What goes on in these contests?
Well, they all are unique in their own ways, but I thought I'd talk a little bit about the Pillsbury Bake Off, which is the big boy and the one everybody knows about. And one of the things people don't know about that contest, which is true of a lot of them, is that they really start the day ahead of the actual cook-off when the contestants get their orientation on the rules and they get to see their ingredients and they get to see their workstations. And the really canny contestants, the ones who are experienced, know that this is when the contest starts and that they're the ones who ask a lot of questions and really make sure that they get exactly what they need to win. And at the bake-off then, the contestants have 5 hours to make their recipe 3 times, which is, for most people, plenty of time. But the people take a couple different strategies in competing. And it's 100 people competing all at once, so it's very chaotic, it's very noisy, it's like 100 people trying to cook for a dinner party all at the same time. And there's always a group of people who want to get their recipe in first, so there's a mad rush in the first 30 minutes of just like this sprint cooking with people insanely, the ones who want to try to get in it first, trying to beat each other. And then towards the end of the contest, there's always people who want to turn their dish in last, thinking that the judges will remember the last recipe the best. And so then there's this kind of the reverse, this sort of strange standoff takes place as everybody sort of waits for the, you know, somebody to cave and go ahead and so that they can be the last person. But in between, there's lots of cut fingers, there's lots of syrup dripped on the floor, and it's just, you know, it's like anybody who's cooked a meal with people around, you take that and multiply it times about 500 and then hang a $1 million price tag over your head.
A little tense. And,
yeah, it makes it, I mean, cooking's already kind of like a little bit, it gets you in the nerves. Well, you know, add money to it and it really gets you.
We're talking with Amy Sutherland. She's the author of Cook Off, Recipe Fever in America. We'd love to hear from you if you'd like to join our conversation. Or have you ever won a cooking contest or wanted to? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-989-TALK. That's 1-800-989-8255. Now, early on in your book, Amy, you asked the question, what is it about Americans that makes us such competitive cooks? Well, what is it?
Right. Well, it turns out that it's a pretty complex answer that's got a lot to do with who we are as Americans and also then a sort of a reflection of how we think about food. You know, generally, Americans just really like to compete. We have every kind of competition that you can imagine. And so it only makes sense that competitive spirit would translate into the cooking world. And then you take cooking itself, and cooking is a very ego-driven creative pursuit, or it's just, you know, people who consider themselves a good cook are always sizing up other people's cooking, whether they say something or not when they're eating at other people's houses. It's just always going through your head. So there's a natural competitiveness to cooking. And then when you sort of come to how Americans think about food, we just have a, you know, when you think of the French really value really good tasting food. That's what matters to them. In the United States, we tend to like our food to be kind of silly and funny, and that's why we like things, you know, even adults still, you know, you find them eating Jell-O and strange snacks from their childhood.
And we have blueberry pie eating contests, too, and things
right.
like that, yeah.
Yeah. And we just have this kind of, you know, we want food to be funny and entertaining first. And so the competitions play into that thinking. And lastly, we just have a lot of faith in the every man, you know, the everyday person coming up with new ideas. And that's what these contests mostly stress, that just your ordinary cook can think of a recipe that's worth $1 million.
Right. Let's take a call from Tessa in, I think it's Driggs, Idaho. Hi, Tessa.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I have entered a couple contests over the internet, and I think they're really good recipes. Basically, my recipes are creative and unique, but I work a lot with meat. And but I never seem to get any response, and I'd really like to get more competitive in this. What does it take?
Well, the people who do this seriously, there's a couple things they do. One thing is that they always research the past winners of any contest that they enter. So that's one thing you want to do, because those are used as guides to see what the judges will be looking for. The other thing they do is they keep up on all the most recent trends. And they tend to take those, they take those out of food magazines, but also out of restaurants. And then they'll take those and they'll make those have maybe more appeal. You know, they'll dumb them down just a little bit. But a lot of the judges at these contests are food editors and magazine food editors. So showing that you're up on the trends will catch their eye.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. Tessa, did you have another question, or was that it?
No, no, not really. I mean, I do kind of keep up with the trends, and like mm-hmm. I've submitted several recipes. Where would I find more contests on the
internet? Contest.
I live in the middle of, actually, nowhere. I'm in the Teton
right.
Mountains, and so I use the internet a lot to search, but I end up with the same thing, kind of the bake-offs, and so the more popular
right.
ones. But is there more access to a little more obscure contest, maybe to get my feet wet, something that's not quite so competitive so I can, you know, possibly have a little bit more experience through a smaller channel?
Sure. And that's the way a lot of people start, so that's smart. There is a website. It's called Cooking Contest Central. The website is recipecontest.com, and that is now the central location to find out about almost any contest in the country, and that website, I believe, has really led to the growth and entries and the sort of constant expansion of this whole cook-off and recipe contest world.
All right,
but that's where I'd go.
All right, thanks. Okay. Thanks so much for your call, Tessa.
No, thank you.
All right, we're going to take another call now from Nancy. She's in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Yeah, I just was going to share with you my my sort of 4-H cook-off experience, which was. This was back when I was in high school, and there was sort of the unwritten rule that we didn't use mixes, and I think it was butter cakes, and I lived in Colorado, and I never could get the doggone thing to, you know, come out of the pan right, look good, so I finally just gave up and used a mix, and lo and behold, I won, and then when I told people that I'd used a mix, of course, everybody was horrified, and I actually repeated that the next year, and that was an angel food cake, and man, if you mess up those, you screw up a whole dozen eggs, and I used a mix again, and again won, and went to the state fair with that cake, which was a good thing I used a mix, because you have like less than a day to turn around and make the cake to send off to the state fair. That's how it was then. And
so you weren't disqualified for using a mix on
no,
either occasion?
Of course, it was sort of after the fact that I told them, and it actually said in the rules that you couldn't use a mix. You know, all the pressure was to do it that way. But their motto is to make the best better, and I just sort of figured that's what I did. I couldn't my from scratch recipe just wasn't cutting it, so I made it better.
Well, there you go, Nancy.
Right.
Nobody ever.
Nobody said
and
anything.
At the time, the rules did not change. They didn't put a rule in that you couldn't use mix. Actually, a follow up to that is: are there recipe? Or cook-off contests for people that use mixes.
Well,
oh, there's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, there's usually a lot of rules about that, and there's that can be very controversial. I mean, I've heard stories about people getting up at state fairs and screaming at the judges over such, you know, people using mixes. But, like, the Pillsbury Bake Off is really a contest that is for using processed foods. They want you to use their products. But, you know, using a mix in other contests could get you in deep trouble. So be careful.
Amy Sutherland is the author of Cook Off, Recipe Fever in America, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's take a call now from Tom, and he's in, I believe it's Buffalo, Wyoming. Sorry. Okay, we've got Ed in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Ed.
Oh, hello.
Sorry, I got the wrong name there. Ed in Portland, Oregon's on the line. Thanks, Ed.
All right. Well, I just had a little story of my own grandmother. She is fairly competitive when it comes to her cooking, and I don't think she's ever done any of the actual in-person bake-offs, but she did manage to get her, you know, secret family recipe of fudge on onto a, I think it was a the Food TV Channel's website. They had a contest where, you know, you put in your recipe and people can, you know, try out your recipe and then vote for it for which one they thought was best. And it was on whatever certain week it was a recipe for chocolate-based products. So she got her fudge on there. And after the first day, I went to see how it was doing, and her recipe was second with like about 1,000 votes, and the first place recipe had, I don't know, 1,200. And then she called me up and said, well, what, you vote too. And so I, of course, voted and found out that their website allowed you to vote more than once. And so I told her that. And the next day, instead of being in second place with 1,000 votes, she was in first place with about 3,000 votes. And the next day, she was in first place with about 20,000 votes. And as the week went on, she ended up, her recipe had about 100,000 votes. Although by that point, one of the other contestants had apparently figured out that they could do it too. So these two recipes with well over 100,000 votes, and then the other remaining recipes with, you know, in the around 1,000 or 2,000.
Wait, did she put in all those votes? Did she vote for
herself? She broke
the
button on her mouse. She clicked it so often.
She broke the button on her mouse?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's a great story.
That was silly. I mean, my dad tried to call her at apparently like 9 p.m. one night just to see what was going on, and her phone line was busy because she was on the Internet, and he finally got a hold of her the next day, and she's like, yeah, I was on the Internet from about 6 a.m. till about 10 p.m. clicking.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, thanks very much for that story, Ed. That was a great story.
Okay.
I guess, Amy, that shows you just how competitive people can get. This gets pretty cutthroat, the cooking circuit, huh?
Yeah, people, they seem to have a lot at stake in these contests, even when there isn't money involved. So you can see the lengths they'll go to, and, you know, as far as getting their whole family to call and all that. But That's one of those things, that's the kind of contest that might upset the more serious cooks because they like really hard and fast rules and they like judges. And so,
does that say something about these online cooking contests?
Well,
maybe they shouldn't let people vote more than once?
Yeah, I would wonder about that. There's a lot of people who wade into having these cook-offs, and it seems to be also often TV shows, and they don't really think out the rules and how it's going to run, and that can end up really sort of upsetting people because they often do put a lot of time and energy into these contests, and you know, and they care about what happens. But if the playing field isn't fair, that can lead to a lot of disagreements and controversy, and everybody feeling bad about themselves.
Yeah, and just one other thing quickly, the judges, you said before that they look for certain things. So this isn't just a matter of I've got a great recipe and I'm going to enter a contest. It's nowhere near that simple anymore, huh?
No, and that's what surprises most people is that it's really, and the people who do it all the time, who refer to themselves as contesters, the people who do it as a serious hobby, they do it because it's also a great intellectual challenge. It's like playing poker, you know, it's trying to like figure out how to make the game work for you. And that's the people who win regularly. That's what they're able to do.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Amy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Amy Sutherland is the author of Cook-Off, Recipe Fever in America. She joined us from station KMOX in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'm Lynn Neary, and you've been listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Give me about a half a teacup of bass. Now I need a pound of fat back drums. Now give me 4 tablespoons of ballin' Memphis guitars. This gonna taste all right.
Now just a little pinch of